This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أم حسبت أن أصحاب الكهف والرقيم كانوا من آياتنا عجبا
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قال له صاحبه وهو يحاوره أكفرت بالذي خلقك من تراب ثم من نطفة ثم سواك رجلا صدق الله العظيم. We concluded the discussion on verse 36, ending on the note of the arrogance, the haughtiness, the pride of the disbelieving companion or brother between the two. And we promise that in this segment, we will commence with the response of the pious, the noble, the humble brother. And that's precisely what we do. So verse 37 that I've just recited before you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now makes mention of how the pious brother responded to the arrogance of his companion, colleague, or brother, you know, literally or figuratively. قَالَ لَهُ صَاحِبُهُ His companion said to him, وَهُوَ يُحَاوِرُهُ While he was conversing, while he was discussing with him, أَكَفَرْتَ بِالَّذِي خَلَقَكَ مِنْ تُرَابِ Oh my brother, oh my friend, oh my colleague, have you become so brazen, so blatant, so arrogant, so obstinate, أَكَفَرْتَ So we will refer to this as الْإِسْتِفْهَامِ لِلْتَوْبِيخِ where you, it has the flavor of a question, but in essence it is a rebuke, you're reproaching, you're chastising, you're admonishing someone. Al-istifham lit-tawbih. Akafarta billadhi khalaqaka min turab. Have you denied the being who created you from sand? Meaning your ancestor Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, whose origin was from sand. So we all can be remotely, distantly be associated to sand and clay. Akafarta billadhi khalaqaka min turabin. ثم من نطفة and you per se, Allah created you from a fluid of sperm, from a liquid. ثم أكفرت بالذي خلقك من تراب ثم من نطفة ثم سواك رجلا And then Allah fashioned you and perfected you as a complete human. Have you forgotten this Allah? In Juz 14, chapter 16, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, خلق الإنسان من نطفة I have created man from a fluid, from a liquid. فإذا هو خصيم مبين Suddenly he wants to argue with Allah. And إذا is مفاجأة. Like how arrogant, you know, what an audacity. In Surah Yasin we recite towards the tail end of the chapter where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about As bin Wa'il. وضرب لنا مثلا وَنَسِيَ خَلْقَهُ قَالَ مَنْ يُحْيِي الْعِظَامَ وَهِيَ رَمِيمٌ وَضَرَبَ لَنَا مَثَلًا And he gives us an example. وَنَسِيَ خَلْقَهُ And he forgot his creation. So he came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he dropped some bones that had decomposed and fragmented. He dropped it before the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he said, أَتَزْعُمُ أَنَّ رَبَّكَ يُحْيِي هَذِهِ وَهِيَ رَمِيمٌ So supposedly you claim, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that your Lord will revive these bones and give it life after it's decomposed and fragmented. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ضَرَبَ لَنَا مَثَلًا وَنَسِيَ خَلْقًا قَالَ مَنْ يُحْيِي الْعِظَامَ وَهِيَ رَمِيمٌ قُلْ يُحْيِيهَا الَّذِي أَنْشَأَهَا أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ Tell them, he will revive it and created it, who created it the first time. وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ خَلْقٍ عَلِيمٍ And he knows every form of creation. To create from nothing, to create and then cause death to that creation, and then to recreate as well. مَا خَلْقُكُمْ وَلَا بَعْثُكُمْ إِلَّا كَنَفْسٍ وَاحِدًا To give death to the entire creation and recreate everyone. For Allah, it is like one soul, it is His sheer intention. So, the first thing we learn, my respected brother, sister, listener, viewer, is that the pious were those who were not intimidated by the arrogance and the affluence of others. He did not buckle under pressure. He was not threatened by this year. He was not mesmerized by this year because he had a deeper vision. And I heard from one of my scholars, may Allah preserve him with goodness. He said, when we look at the Salaf al-Salihin, our pious predecessors, then Allah allowed their noble engagements and endeavors to prosper when they engaged in noble activities of deen and all the activities, you know. Some were in welfare work, others were in tabligh, others were in tazkiyah, others were in tasneef and ta'leef, in different aspects of the deen. And each one of them, we find that their works saw fruition, saw fruits, and it materialized and it brought, good returns and rewards. Why? Because there were two things that were common amongst them. Number one, zuhd. They did not seek any material return. And number two, ikhlas. They were sincere in what they did it. So their causes prospered. What did someone say? It is better to die for a cause that will live than to live for a cause that will die. It is better to die for a cause that will live. And yes, their causes have outlived them. They have passed on, but the legacy continues. The legacy continues. The institutions, the seminaries continue. The writings continue. The students continue. The work continues. It is better to die for a cause that will live than to live for a cause that will die. So the pious brother responded by saying, "Akafarta," like how evil of you, how wicked of you. Al-istifham li-tawbih. "Akafarta bil-ladhi khalaqaka min turab." You know, you take your son or your daughter for orthodontics to straighten the jaw, to straighten the teeth, to realign it, and it will cost you an arm and a leg. And whatever you invest at its best has a cosmetic and an aesthetic look and enhancement to the appearance, to the smile, to the facial features, etc. But it does little or nothing to the speech of that individual, to the speech of that child. Can you imagine a child telling a father or a mom who has invested, and I'm just using this as an analogy and an example, where you spend and you invest and it costs you so much orthodontics and back and forth and cosmetics, and that same child opens that same mouth of his and tells that father, well, you've done nothing for me. You've bought me nothing. You've given me nothing. Can you imagine what that words would do and how it would pierce through the heart of that parent? Now, Allah creates you. Allah designs you, Allah fashions you, and then you grow up and then you have the audacity. Like, is there a God? Is there a creator? Really? Well, it doesn't gel with my logic. No, I need to be convinced. I need scientific proof. I need data. No, I'm not convinced. Allah create. وَيَقُولُ الْإِنسَانُ أَإِذَا مَا مِتُّ لَسَوْفَ أُخْرَجُ حَيَّا. And man says very arrogantly, so when I will die, will I be created again? I will be created again. I will be resurrected. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَوَلَا يَذْكُرُ الْإِنسَانُ أَنَّا خَلَقْنَاهُ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَلَمْ يَكُ شَيْئًا. You don't have to look any further. Look at yourself. Look at yourself. Oh, my son, you say, I've done nothing for you. Who has educated you? Who has nursed you? Who has given you this upbringing? Who has invested on you? So how do you make this claim? So the pious brother, colleague, companion responds with humility, with sincerity, with integrity. قَالَ لَهُ صَاحِبُهُ, and that is verse 37. قَالَ لَهُ صَاحِبُهُ وَهُوَ يُحَاوِرُ. How are you حَاوِرُ in converse? أَكَفَرْتَ. Like, really? Are you denying Allah? بِالَّذِي خَلَقَكَ مِنْ تُرَابِ, who created you from sand, that was your distant link, and your close source of creation was a fluid and a semen. ثُمَّ سَوَّاكَ رَجُلًا, and then Allah shaped you and fashioned you. يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانِ مَا غَرَّكَ بِرَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمِ. Oh man, what deceived you about your Lord? الَّذِي خَلَقَكَ, who created you, فَسَوَّاكَ فَعَدَلَكَ. Who fashioned you, who shaped you, who designed you. You study the human anatomy and you study the human body, and then in every aspect of the human embryo and the human anatomy, if you have the inner eye and the deeper eye, you would see the might, the power, and the greatness of the Almighty. Furthermore, he says, verse 38, لَكِنَّهُ وَاللَّهُ رَبِّي وَلَا أُشْرِكُ بِرَبِّي أَحَدًا. So, لَكِنَّ in Arabic, you know, the scholars will tell you, it's actually لَكِنْ أَنَا. لَكِنْ أَنَا, and ta'leel took place. So, if that is what you choose to do, so be it, so be it. But as for myself, I will not deny the oneness of Allah. لَكِنَّهُ وَاللَّهُ رَبِّي. I will attest and proclaim and pronounce the tawheed. لَكِنَّهُ وَاللَّهُ رَبِّي. I will proclaim the oneness of Allah. وَلَا أُشْرِكُ بِرَبِّي أَحَدًا. And I will not ascribe partners with my Lord in any way. So first he told him that, think properly. How evil of you, how nasty, how wicked of you. Then he made clear his own faith and his own conviction. And then he goes on to say, and that is now verse 39, وَلَوْلَا إِذْ دَخَلْتَ جَنَّتَكَ قُلْتَ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Listen, I don't have a problem with your wealth, and I don't have a problem with your orchards and your vineyards and your rivers. Great, wonderful, lovely, happy for you. But when you entered, وَلَوْلَا, why not, إِذَا, when دَخَلْتَ, you entered, جَنَّتَكَ, your orchard, قُلْتَ, you said, مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Masha'a, what Allah intends, whatever Allah intends will happen. Masha'Allah, whatever Allah intends will occur. La quwwata, there is no strength, might, power, illa billah. Ya ba comes for isti'ana, as we will say, alba lil isti'ana. Help, assistance, aid. That nothing can be accomplished without the help, aid, assistance, or the intervention of Allah. And that is actually a dua. Whenever you see something beautiful, you're impressed by, or sometimes even your child so sweet, so adorable, and you do not read the necessary du'as, then inadvertently you transmit negative energy. So you look at a child and then you say, oh, so sweet, so adorable, and you don't read the relevant du'as, then the eye has an impact. Al-aynu haqqun, al-aynu haqqun. The words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the eye is a reality. One is a person looks with an evil eye. Sometimes a person looks at a new car of yours or a new house of yours or a function of yours, and you can see the dirty look, you can see the venomous look, you can see that jealous look coming out. You can almost see that. And sometimes a person looks innocently, but because he or she does not take the necessary precautions, it transmits some form of unpleasantness. And the infidels would actually cast nasty glances at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the intention of causing him harm. Of course, Allah had protected him. And Allah speaks about this in the Quran. وَإِن يَكَادُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَيُزْلِقُونَكَ بِأَبْصَارِهِمْ وَإِن يَكَادُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَيُزْلِقُونَكَ بِأَبْصَارِهِمْ لَمَّا سَمِعُوا الذِّكْرَ وَيَقُولُونَ إِنَّهُ لَمَجْنُونَ وَإِن يَكَادُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَيُزْلِقُونَكَ بِأَبْصَارِهِمْ. They were on the verge of trying to drop you with their evil gazes. So whenever you walk into your beautiful house, you see your beautiful spouse, your partner, your parents, your children, the wealth, the comfort, the luxuries, the amenities that Allah has given you, you praise, you thank, you glorify Allah. And one of the du'as to be recited is, مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. By virtue of that, you protect yourself, you protect that asset, you protect that child, etc. And remember, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam would read those du'as and he would ask Allah's protection for Hassan and Hussein radiyallahu anhuma. أُعِيذُكَ بِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ التَّامَّةِ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْطَانٍ وَهَامَّةِ وَمِنْ كُلِّ عَيْنٍ لَامَّةِ أُعِيذُكَ بِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ التَّامَّةِ من كل شيطان وهامة ومن كل عين لامة. It is asking Allah protection from the devil and the evil eye. So the companion says to this arrogant individual, the pious person says to this haughty individual, when you entered your garden and you were showing me and you said, I don't think it will perish, and for all I care, Qiyamah doesn't make sense to me, and by the way, if I end up there, I'll have better. Could you not be more humble in your approach? وَلَوْلَا إِذْ دَخَلْتَ. Why not? When you entered your garden, you enter your surgery, you enter your palace, you enter your office, you enter your throne, you enter your empire. That's the demeanor of a believer. مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Now, stern words. First was a bit polite, passive, gentle, but now the tone is getting stronger. وَلَوْلَا إِذْ دَخَلْتَ جَنَّتَكَ قُلْتَ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ إِنْ تَرَنِي أَنَا أَقَلَّ مِنْكَ وَمَالًا وَوَلَدًا. إِنْ إِفْ تَرَنِي, you perceive me, أَنَا, myself, أَقَلَّ, less than you, مِنْكَ, مَالًا, in wealth and children. If you look at me and you think, oh, okay, I don't have much wealth, I don't have much following behind me, well, فَعَسَى رَبِّي, فَعَسَى رَبِّي. And this is now verse 40. Verse number 40. فَعَسَى رَبِّي أَن يُؤْتِيَنِي خَيْرًا مِّن جَنَّتِكَ. The time is very close. عَسَى, the time is very close. It's highly possible. أَن يُؤْتِيَنِي رَبِّي, that my Lord will endow me with an orchard better than yours. I mean, what makes you believe that what you have is with you forever? And what makes you believe that I'm poor and I'll remain poor forever? Both in this world and the latter. Who told you that? We've seen with our own eyes how life turns and how people who were once upon a time incarcerated become leaders, and how people who were once upon a time leaders subsequently are subjected to imprisonment or impeachment. How life turns and how fickle life is. فَعَسَى, the time is close, verse 40, رَبِّي, فَعَسَى رَبِّي, it is close that my Lord, أَن يُؤْتِيَنِي, he will grant me خَيْرًا مِّن جَنَّتِكَ, better than your orchard and better than your garden, وَيُرْسِلَ عَلَيْهَا حُسْبَانًا مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ. And it's possible that Allah will send a thunderbolt or a fire or a torment, or an afah and a tragedy on your garden and your orchard. Allah can strike it and seize what He has given you through angles and avenues you least perceive. So listen, hang on. Number one, that was very arrogant of you. Number two, for the record, I believe in Allah. Number three, in future, going forward, this is the dua you read when you enter your orchard or something that you have. And number four, hang on. Don't think you are where you are forever, because this table can be turned very quickly and very swiftly, and the roles can be reversed, and Allah can strike what He gave you and He can give me way better than what you ever had. وَيُرْسِلَ عَلَيْهَا حُسْبَانًا مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ. And Allah can send a tragedy from the sky, and what could happen? فَتُصْبِحَ صَعِيدًا زَلَقًا. Verse number 40. And your land can become a plain land. Zalaq means like slippery, right? In other words, there's nothing. It's barren. It's plain. It's leveled out. There's no orchards. There's no trees. There's no rivers. There's no water. There's no vegetation. There's no plantation. Nothing. Gone. Everything can be destroyed. So don't be so arrogant. Don't be so arrogant on what you have, because it's highly possible that this can happen. And remember, when the pious say things, then they don't just blurt. There's meaning to what they say. There's clout to what they say. The famous hadith in Bukhari, where Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiyallahu anhu, who was appointed as the governor of Kufa during the reign of Umar ibn Khattab, and he was from amongst the Ashra Mubashara, the 10 companions who were given the glad tidings of Jannah in one gathering. Otherwise, many companions were given the glad tidings at different times. And Shaka Ahlul Kufati Sa'dan, the people of Kufa complained about Sa'd radiallahu anhu. And this is comfort for those that are in leadership position. You know, of course, we cannot apply it in its totality, because Sa'd radiallahu anhu was a man of absolute nobility and high ranking values. After all, he was the student of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لَا يَغُرَّنَّكَ سَعْدٌ أَنْ قِيلَ خَالُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَدْفَعُ السَّيِّئَ بِالسَّيِّئِ وَلَكِنْ يَدْفَعُ السَّيِّئَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ. The words that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu had said to Sa'd radiallahu anhu, let this not deceive you that you are known as the maternal uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your lineage will not avail you. That sometimes you are as an imam or in a leadership position and you try your level best to win the confidence of everyone, yet you'll get, you know what, critics who will find fault with you, who will blemish you, who will always tarnish you. But hang on for a moment here, you have Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas as the governor and the people are unhappy with him. And who was Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas? He was appointed, or he was the man who was given the glad tidings of Jannah by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anyway, Umar radiallahu anhu had a very stringent eye. Azalahu, Umar radiallahu anhu dismissed him and told him, you'll have to just step down. And then Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu appointed Ammar radiallahu anhu. And Umar radiallahu anhu said to Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas that these people are complaining, and amongst the complaints they have lodged, that you are not performing salah and leading them in prayer correctly. So Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu said, Usalli bihim salata Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I lead them in prayer like how I seen the Prophet of Allah leading us in prayer. The first two units are longer than the latter two. Wa ukhiffu fil ukhrayain. I prolong the first two and I reduce the latter two. Dhaka dhannu bika ya Aba Ishaq. Well, that's exactly what I was hoping to hear from you, O Abu Ishaq, which was the pet name in the kunniya. And then Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu arsala rijal, and he sent some people with Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas, and they went to different tribes within the community of Kufa. And yathnuna alayhi ma'rufa, the general populace and the general public were, no, he's amazing, he's great, he's wonderful. Hatta dakhalu masjidan li bani Abbasin. But they entered into a particular tribe and community of Banu Abs. And there they asked the people, what's your opinion of Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu? So the average people, the general people, the populace said, no, he's great. However, one person took exception, and the hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. فَقَامَ رَجُلٌ يُقَالُ لَهُ أُسَامَةُ بْنُ قَتَادَ. A person by the name of Usama bin Qatada stood up and he said, أَمَا إِذَا نَشَتَّنَا. Now that you've asked us our opinion about Sa'd radiallahu anhu, فَإِنَّهُ كَانَ لَا يَسِيرُ بِالسَّرِيَّ. Number one, he does not participate in the expeditions. And there isn't justice in his decisions and his distributions, and he's like this and he's like this. When Sa'd radiallahu anhu heard these accusations, he said, Allahumma in kana abduka hadha qama riya'an wa sum'atan fa atil umurahu wa atil faqrahu wa arridhu lil fitan. Allah, this man has stood up and he has hurled these accusations towards me, and you know the truth. Allah prolong his life so that he can be subjected to prolonged agony and expose him to fitnas. The words of Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu are not going to go unheard. Immediately that curse had consequences because of the accusation of this man, and life moved on and things turned in the life of this person who had hurled these accusations to Sa'd radiallahu anhu. What had become, قَدْ رَأَيْتُهُ. One of the narrators who narrates from Jabir ibn Samura, who's the narrator of the hadith, Abdul Malik, he narrates from Jabir ibn Samura. He says, I seen this man, سَقَطَ حَاجِبَاهُ عَلَىٰ عَيْنَيْهِ, that his eyelashes were drooping. He had become aged, old, frail, weak, senile. And whenever people would see him in pain and agony, so old, so miserable, in so much difficulty, he would say, أصابتني دعوة سعد, that Sa'd radiallahu anhu has passed on, but his curse lives with me. His curse lives with me. The hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. Imam Nawawi has made mention of it in Riyadh al-Salihin under Karamatul Awliya as well. The miracles of the pious people. So anyway, coming back here to verse 40 out of the 110 verses of the 18th chapter of the Quran, the pious companion, you know what, gave different messages Remember the incident in the 20th juz of the Quran in Surah Al-Qasas, when Qarun came with his arrogance. Again, his nation said to him four things. And in Bayan al-Quran, it is said that these four things which the nation said to him was actually the sentiments of Musa alayhi salam, which the nation further amplified. إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ قَوْمُهُ لَا تَفْرَحْ. Don't be arrogant. Don't be arrogant. Read the stories of those that were arrogant. Why flash your arrogance? Why advertise your arrogance? There's a fine line between arrogance and confidence. Confidence, the latter is necessary. Arrogance is repugnant. لَا تَفْرَحْ. Don't be arrogant. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْفَرِحِينَ. Allah doesn't like the arrogant. وَبْتَغِ فِي مَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ. And by virtue of what Allah has given you, secure your abode in Akhirah. Right? Number two. Number three, وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. And do not forget your share in this world. There's different interpretations to this portion of the ayah. One explanation is that within reason, you are allowed to achieve and accomplish and have your basic needs and necessities of this world. In other words, Islam is practical, it's user-friendly, it's pragmatic. وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ. And be kind to others like how Allah has been kind to you. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. Allah despises mischief makers. Allah despises mischief makers. So that was the warning from the brother here, that Allah can strike your orchard and Allah can give me better. And Allah can reduce this entire orchard to a plain land, a plain barren land. And then verse 41, أَوْ يُصْبِحَ مَاؤُهَا غَوْرًا فَلَن تَسْتَطِيعَ لَهُ طَلَبًا. أَوْ يُصْبِحَ مَاؤُهَا غَوْرًا. The water in your river and in your springs and in your orchard can sink deep down. غَوْرًا غَارَ يَغُورُ غَوْرًا. Can sink deep down. The concluding verses of Surah Al-Mulk. قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ أَصْبَحَ مَاؤُكُمْ غَوْرًا. Ask them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if Allah was to order the water to sink deep down into the earth, and Allah denies you water from the clouds, فَمَنْ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِمَاءٍ مَعِينٍ. Then who will give you water? And in Jalalain, under this ayah, the incident is mentioned that an arrogant person heard this verse, and he said, بِالْفُؤُوسِ بِالْفُؤُوسِ, that we will access water, وَالْمَعَاوِلْ, with technology, we'll dig so deep down till we, you know what, break through and we get water. فَذَهَبَ مَاءُ عَيْنِهِ فَعَمِيَ. He barely uttered that, and Allah caused the water in his eyes socket to dry up, and he became blind. Allah caused the water in his eyes socket to dry up. I am no ophthalmologist, but those that are ophthalmologists and study ophthalmology, they will tell you about the eye and how unique that, you know what, it is one of the most complex organs of the body. You talk of the brain, you talk of the eye, it's an amazing organ of the body. And how many functions it does and how many images it captures at one time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dried up the water in his eye. فَذَهَبَ مَاءُ عَيْنِهِ فَعَمِيَ. So we'll end here on verse 41, in which the pious brother gave multiple advices to his arrogant companion, and he left it on this note. I'm afraid, by the looks of it, for all I care, the time is rather soon when my Lord will strike with some divine tragedy on your orchard, on your garden, or he can cause your water to sink deep down. فَلَن تَسْتَطِيعَ لَهُ طَلَبًا. And then you will not have access to that water in any way. You won't able to gain access to that water. Allah will just block it off and buy it off and deny you access from that water. Let's wait and see what's the outcome of this warning, this alert, and this threat from this pious soul to this arrogant individual. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from pride, arrogance, and haughtiness. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. Wa salli allahumma wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.